we're excited to have you. I'm going to open up with a verse here. If you're ready, let's just stand on our feet and get ready to worship. It's Christmas. Isn't it beautiful in here? I'm excited. But Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For this is the day the Lord has made. The joy of the Lord is our strength." And I messed that up a bit. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. So no matter what you're going through, we can have joy in Him. So let's just give Him our praise and let's be joyful this morning. Amen.
You are more than enough for me. Praise. I search the world.
have you here this morning, if you would go around and greet some of your family of faith.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to have you live streamers, wherever you're watching from, on Facebook, YouTube. It's good to have you. Good morning, everybody. We will take time for our tithe and offering this morning. In the chairs in front of you are our offering envelopes. And if you are have something to give today, you can grab one of those and fill it out. Also, I know you guys love each other and all that, but we're ready for tithe and offering now. So, also, if you have not given your Thanksgiving offering, if the Lord had dropped something on your heart, we took this up last Sunday. If you weren't here or just didn't get it together, you can give those today yet, even into next week. So these are yellow envelopes. So if you have a Thanksgiving offering, if you haven't turned it in, ask for one of these yellow envelopes from the ushers, and they will give it to you so you can give that. And we appreciate your extra giving for our Thanksgiving offering this year. But normal tithe and offering, the white envelopes, and we appreciate your faithfulness and your giving. And how many of y'all had a good Thanksgiving? Yeah? I hope so. Me personally, I had a good Thanksgiving starting about 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving because the night before I spent the whole night losing my guts like every 15 minutes. It was an exciting night, and but I felt good enough about 1 o'clock to actually start eating some food. So, and I just had to do it. It was Thanksgiving, right? But by the way, having said that, I was just getting word of, I don't know, there's 5 or 6 families that are out that are sick already. It's already going around. So please be in prayer for our families. It's already going around, and we just want to get not only people healthy and well, and they don't go through this winter, but also back in church. So be praying for them. But anyways, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we ended up having a really good one. But now that that's done, let me be the first to say Merry Christmas. And we're already here. I can't believe it. My goodness. And thanks for the ladies that came in and decorated the church yesterday. They did a wonderful job. And the kids' church got all decorated up downstairs, and I'm sure they're enjoying that. But anyhow, your giving is important, but it's also appreciated, and your faithfulness to the church. And again, everything that happens because of your giving, then turn around, good stewardship and wisdom, and then God doing what we don't do. Amen? Amen. So let me pray over your giving this morning. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets this morning. Lord, we thank you. And again, thankfulness for our hearts for just your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And as increase comes into our lives, Lord, you direct some things that happens with it. And I thank you that you're teaching us not only obedience, but you're teaching us some things in that. And the biggest thing is that we simply depend upon you in all things that we do, including our finances and the provision for our lives, Lord. And we give out of that in honor to you, that you are the one who is always in front of us, leading the way and providing for us. And we thank you for that. And we live in faith. We live by faith as we give today. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.
Well, good morning. We're so excited to have you. If you are a first-time guest, we are going to put a QR code up there. And we just have, if you pull up your camera, if you've never done that before, and you point it at it, it'll point a link. And then we're asking for some basic information so we can get to know you better. And I know that Pastor Kylan prays for everybody individually. And I know I need all the prayer I can get. But we're excited to have you. And we believe that if you are here, you are here for a reason. So thanks for coming this morning.
Couple announcements before we get into the word today, but yeah, guests, go ahead and use that QR code so we can connect with you. We promise not to email you and call you and all that kind of stuff all the time, but just to connect with you. But we thank you for being with us today. Real quick, don't forget that this coming Saturday, ladies, if you had signed up at 2 p.m., is our ladies' cookie exchange. So if you have questions, you can see Margo about that. And also, a week from today, right after church, is our yearly church Christmas party. So next Sunday, right after church, we're going to clear this room out, put up tables and chairs. We're providing all of the fried chicken, and you guys bring the sides and desserts to share. So if you don't bring nothing, we're eating fried chicken. That's all that's going to happen. So we'll eat what you bring. And then there's some activities for the kids, and also the youth and the adults both have a White Elephant gift exchange. The youth have a $5 limit. Adults are $10. It's not much, but it's just something fun to do. You don't have to participate in that to come to the party, but if you want to, you can. And we were out the other day doing some shopping, and I got what I'm, and isn't it just the coolest thing ever? Yes, it is. See, she agrees. So it'll be fun. That's next Sunday right after church. Don't forget about that. Invite somebody out for that. Also, for the kids that will be here for our Christmas Eve service. So our candlelight service, December 24th, 6 p.m. The youth and the kids both have something that night along with our candlelight. If the kids are going to be here for that, please sign them up at the back. And that way Mandy knows what kids need to be involved in practicing for it. And the youth are actually going to have a partner too. And if your youth is going to be here, that's 5th to 12th grade, tell Samara, and she's got something for them that night also. But we're looking forward to that. It's not just a time where our kids do something. There'll be a short word. Then we'll close out the evening with candlelight with some Christmas carols. So it's always a wonderful time. So plan on being with us for that. And last but not least, ushers, help me out. If you were not here last week and you want one of these, every year we print this Christmas devotion called The Wondrous Story. I know we gave out a ton last week. If you weren't here last week and want one of these, raise your hand right now. They start today. It's a devotion for every day through the month of December, right up to Christmas Day. And it's a time that we just focus on Jesus and what this month means to us as we celebrate him. So a daily devotion, just something to guide you in your word. And by the way, I hope you're in your word every day, right? Right? Yeah, but this is just something for this month to take you into the scriptures and highlight Jesus. As the scriptures are, that we know that everything that this Bible is points to Jesus. Is that correct? All the stories of the Old Testament, everything that we find in here leans into Jesus. It dovetails to him because this is the Word of God, correct? But Jesus is the Word of God. And this is the testimony to who he is. Amen? All right, so we have a series this month called The Name. It's our December series, but we're going to intro this series with the video. So if you guys want to roll that, and I'll come back up right after this video.
What name could contain such a glory? In the cool breezes of Eden, brought from the infant earth, one arose, the voice of his creator speaking his identity to life. Adam, man. And as heaven waited short with breath, the creator spoke yet another, Eve, mother of all the living. So it was with Abraham, named in the promise as the father of nations. Peter, the rock upon which the church would stand. The name called to life the destiny within. The name set the stage for all that was to come. And unto us a child was born. And what name could contain his glory? For he was mighty God, as the universe gasped into being, flinging rays of light from his presence to pierce the void, to shatter the shadows to a tapestry of color. And he is mighty God, shattering our darkness, revealing our light, our truth in him. He was everlasting Father when orphaned Israel needed a father's touch. When we, with grief-stricken cheeks, need the embrace of one who never leaves. When we have lost our way to dark horizons, it is our everlasting Father who lights the way home. He is Prince of Peace. When, like Elijah, we need the still small voice in the turmoil's midst. When, like David, we need the melodies of his presence to soothe our troubled minds. He is sanctuary within our trials, shepherd guiding us to still waters. And yes, he is wonderful counselor. God who gives counsel in the chaos, crafting disorder into calm and failure into beauty. He is a voice for the voiceless. He is dignity for the stateless soul. It is he who raised up a lowly shepherd to become a king. He who took the fishermen of Galilee and made them leaders of history. It is the counselor who redeems our lost years, breaking chains that have kept dreams imprisoned and joy confined. The name reaches across eternity, exclaimed by the splendors of galaxies, sung by the passions of angels, roared in heaven's fervor, exalted in creation's unfettered rejoicing. What name could contain him? What title? What soul renown? For this is our wonderful counselor. This is our mighty God. This is our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. What name could contain Emmanuel, God with us, Yahweh, the great I am? What name could contain the Word of Life, the Light of the World, the King of Kings, the Lord of all? We bow to the name that holds every other in its matchless worth. What name could contain such a glory? What name but Jesus? We cry Jesus. We cry holy is the name.
It's the name Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about this month in December, is the name of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. I want to highlight something that we see in both Matthew and Luke in the announcement stories of the angels to Mary and Joseph about Jesus coming. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and we'll jump over to Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If not, we will put the verses on the screen for you. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the name of Jesus. And it says there, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee to Nazareth, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." And watch this, and notice the angel is very specific here. "And you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now let's jump to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, and we'll put these two stories together. So the angel visits, it's Mary, and now the angel comes to Joseph. So Matthew 1, 18 says this. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son,'" and here it is again, very specific, "'and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken to the prophet." This is prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. "When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So Mary and Joseph are set to be married. Mary has an incredible visitation from an angel who says to her, "Hey, you're favored, and you're actually going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and you will be with child. And again, specifically, you will give him the name Jesus." And I love Mary's response. We're going to get into it. Eventually, she says, "Whatever you say, whatever you desire, so it shall be." Mary was very obedient to this. It's most likely a teenage girl this is happening to. And of course, Joseph, discovers she's pregnant. Now, I don't know about you. When I was engaged to my wife and I did not know her in that way and she showed up pregnant, "See you later, Jack. I'm out. I mean, know what I'm talking about." And by the way, the grace of Joseph was already showing up because he had decided in his own heart to separate from her, not to publicly disgrace her. And he could have. He could have claimed her being an adulterer into the community. The law of Moses may have kicked into what happens to an adulterer. But even in this moment, the grace of Joseph was already kind towards Mary to separate from her quietly and not publicly disgrace her. We already see the grace of God working in this situation. But as Mary, an angel shows up to Joseph and tells him the story. And amazingly, he receives it too. But again, very specific. His name shall be Jesus. Now, our son and daughter-in-law had our granddaughter 6 months ago, right? Month behind. And they named her Parker. How they came up with that name, I don't know. I know there's apps on your phone that you can download names and like both the husband and wife can have the names and they can agree, you know, pick some, and then eventually those two come together and see if they crossed over any that they liked, you know. And there's all sorts of ways to pick names today, but sort of random. I don't know how names were picked back then, but the angel was specific and said, name him Jesus. Now my name, by the way, it's Kylan. It's spelled K-Y-L-A-N, Kylan, all right? Now, my dad has a hearing impairment. So my mom was saying some names to him. I'm the baby of the family, by the way. My sister's 7 years older than me. My brother, he passed away a few years ago. He's 5 years older than me. I'm the baby of the family, right? I'm last in line. She's going through names, and she said, what do you think about the name Kynan? And my dad said, Kylan, I like that. He misunderstood her. He said, Kylan, I like that. She goes, well, I like that too. So that's how I got my name. My dad misunderstood my mom. Who'd have thought, right? That's how I got my name. But the angel was very specific and said, name him Jesus. Now, kind of a little maybe background here. The actual name Jesus that we use in English is the translation of the Greek word, which is the transliteration, in other words, it kind of phonetically sounds like the Hebrew word Yeshua, okay? So Jesus, ultimately through that process, is the English rendering of the Hebrew name Yeshua, okay? And it simply means God saves. That the Lord, he saves. So we use the name Jesus because simply that's what our English translations give us. All right? But Jesus means God saves, that the Lord saves. And the angel was very specific of what to name this child because his name denotes who he is, but what he does. Jesus is the one who saves. And this is where we place our hope. You see, what God is doing in coming into this lost world, God in flesh, he's coming because, well, simply God loves this fallen world. See, God made this world. He didn't have to make this world, but love denotes action. So God creates, and God creates beings who have relationship with him. We'll have the opportunity to. But yet in our sin, we separate ourselves from God because God is love. God desires to save, and he comes in human form in the name Jesus because God saves. That's who he is. It's simply what he does. He is a God who loves, but he is a God who saves. And that's what Jesus came to do. And by the way, he's still in the saving business. And it has not stopped. God is active in this world today, saving all who respond to his wonderful grace, the gift of God that comes to us. You can't earn it, can't buy it, can't do enough good things. Can't smile enough at your neighbor. It is the gift of God to those who respond to his goodness. And faith is born in us as we hear this wonderful word of the good news of Jesus, the God who saves. Amen. Now, I mentioned earlier about the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament leans into Jesus. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Something just to highlight to you here. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. It's a story that we find in the Gospels of what's called the Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. It says, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. It's been said that the mountain where this is happening, both Moses and Elijah had been there in their life when they were here on earth. And Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So they're talking about the things that are about to happen. Now, Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. As the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he says. So Peter's just talking again, as we often find him doing. Sounds like a good idea, but not really. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of a cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. You got Moses representing the law. You got the great prophet Elijah representing the prophets and Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the law, Moses, and all the prophets, Elijah. Here you have this great representative of what we find in our scriptures, the law and the prophets and who they lead to, Jesus. And what does God say in that moment? Listen to him, Jesus. He didn't say, listen to Moses. He didn't say, listen to Elijah, though we don't discount them. Though they're not in opposition to Jesus or contrary to him, but all the things that they represent lead to him. But listen to him, my son. Listen to Jesus. Jesus, God in flesh, listen to him. Why? Because he is the one who saves. Right. See, relationship was being built through the law. The prophets come and remind of these things and also point to a day that's coming, which is Jesus. Good and wonderful, but they lead to Jesus. Listen to him. You're not going to find salvation ultimately in the law, nor are you going to find it in the prophets. You find it in Jesus and Jesus alone. Listen to him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. And you can't get to the Father unless it's by him. You can't get there through the law, ultimately. You can't get there through the prophets, ultimately. You get there through Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he alone saves. Amen. So Jesus, this name, to save us from our sins, that we should listen to him. So Kelly, I have a slide this morning, just one slide today. So how does God save? If his name means God saved, how does God save? I tell you how he saves. A baby is born. And I'm telling you something. Ultimately, end of the day, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you really think about it. How does God save the world? A baby's born. Babies are born every day. Probably every second, there's a baby being born somewhere in this world, right? God saves the world, and it starts with the baby being born, but there's something different about this baby. Because this baby is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is what makes God so different than so much of the mythology and all the other proclaimed gods through history. This is what makes God different, our God, the God we serve, the one and true and living God. It makes him different because he loved us so much, he becomes one of us in order to save us and do what we can't do for ourselves. How does God save? A baby is born. And it kind of just boggles the mind. And you think just this little thing up in the corner here, that cradle, the manger as represented there, it leads to the cross. Because eventually that baby growing up into being the fullness of God. We'll read about that in Colossians in just a second. Saved the world on that cross. See, the reason that we talk about a baby being born, the reason every December we celebrate Christmas and spend a month talking about God in flesh is because the way God saves can only happen because he came in flesh. Now, by the way, Jesus wasn't created when he was conceived in Mary. Just that was the moment that God took on flesh. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus always was. He wasn't created in that moment. That's a piece of important theology, by the way. But yet, God, the eternal God, the one and only God who exists in three persons, the mystery of the Trinity, takes on human flesh in order to save us. Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. I love how Paul writes this. And it's kind of this anthem of Christology about the fullness of God being found in Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. If I can get there, we'll go. Whew, there we go. Jesus, he. Now listen to the wording here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For by him all things were created. Yeah, he was there at creation. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, and Paul often breaks this stuff down, but one and the same. Everything that is unseen, yes. All things were created through him. And watch this, they were created for him. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him all things are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be, watch this, preeminent. Yes, high Christology. For in him all the, watch this, I love this, verse 19, watch this. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This mystery of him being fully man and fully God. The fullness of God pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, that salvation, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Listen to what I'm about to say. Now watch this. And I'm going to reverse this because I say Jesus is like God, but watch what I have to say. God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There has never been a time where God was not like Jesus. And we might not have always understood this, but it's true. And then we hear it the other way. Jesus is like God. Jesus has always been like God. There's never been a time where Jesus was not like God. But you can say it the other way too. God is like Jesus. Why? They are one and the same. And when Jesus came, the fullness of God, well, it was in human form. Jesus is the full revelation of God. Now watch this. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If there's any mystery in your mind of what God in heaven is like, look at Jesus, because in Jesus, the fullness of God, well, dwelt in human form. As a matter of fact, Jesus removes all assumption of what God is like. He removes all the mystery of what God is like. See, look at the life of Jesus. Look at who he was. Look at what he did. Look at what his name means, what he ultimately does. He saved. This is who God is. It shows up in the paradigm of the working, the Trinity, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're working together, three in one. This is who God is. It's like Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a little commercial teaser here for a second. Starting in January, all the way through the fall in January, we're going to be looking at the genuine Jesus. We're going to look at who he is. We're going to look at the table manners and how he treated people as he drew together with them and eating food with them. And what was that like? We're going to spend a few weeks on the Sermon on the Mount and get deep into some of his teachings. We want to remove assumption, but this is who Jesus is. He is God in flesh come to save us. Now, the Jewish people, some of the very Orthodox Jews, they won't even say the proper name of God. They don't believe that anybody has ever really seen God. But we know John 1:18 says this. You don't have to turn there. But John 1:18 says this, that no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Yes. Jesus has come and he's made God known to all of us. But what I love about God coming is this. It removes this idea that God is a distant God. He's out there in the cosmos somewhere, hanging around in this place called heaven, and it's way far away. And when you pray, you got to hope your prayers get there. You just navigate all this different stuff and get through the demonic forces and get to God. He's just out there. And because he's so far away, he certainly can't pay attention to little old me. Way far away from wherever he is. But Jesus coming, the fullness of God in flesh, well, it disproves that. Because what God came in human form, he got very personal with everybody he came in contact with. He ate meals with them. He spent time with them. He taught them. And by the way, I'm of the opinion, this is my opinion. I don't say my opinion from the pulpit much, but here's my opinion. You ever see some of the older Jesus movies? He's a very emotionless guy. Everywhere he walks, he says some teachings, and everybody's, oh, and then they get mad and try to kill him, but when he walks away, the crowds just part, and he's just very emotionless. I don't think Jesus was emotionless. I think he laughed with the disciples, probably. He went to a wedding, right? That was fun. Turned the water into wine. He extended the party, actually. Didn't shut it down. Didn't get mad. Oh, you guys are having too much fun. I'm going to shut this down. But he was personal. Interacted, met people right. Listen, he met people right where they were and started to show them a place to go. He didn't leave them there. He offered, follow me, right? But yet, as a singular person, it was just very local what he was doing. He was just in a place. But yet he ascends, and the Holy Spirit is sent. And it went from localized to everywhere. But yet the Holy Spirit is what? Very personal. Because where does the Holy Spirit reside? Right in here. Right? God is not a distant God. You have to worry about whether or not he pays attention to you. But in Advent, God coming, he proves that he's right here with us. And it never changes. And he's right here with us because God saves. See, the reason we take time every year in December to talk about Jesus being born as a baby, because it's central to the Christian faith that God took on human flesh. that there's some heresies of that splinter off the Christian faith that, well, Jesus really didn't have a true physical body, or when he was crucified, it really wasn't him there, it was somebody in his place, or all these different things. You remove that stuff. God was here in flesh, just like me and you. And he went through all the same stuff we did. He cried when he was born. That whole silent night really didn't happen. Jesus probably cried when he was a baby being born, right? This life that he lived, even after his resurrection, he ate with the disciples. They're out on the boat going back to their former occupation because they thought all was lost, and there's Jesus sitting on the shore making breakfast. And he said, hey, come on. Then he goes have a word with Peter because he got to talk to him after everything happened, right? Very personalized, but he was in absolute human form. Because you can't have the cross, a death, without there really being a body. See, if the wage of sin is what? Death. The reason, listen, I'm saved and I live a life of faith, but I'm getting older, and someday I am going to die. True. Even though I'm saved here, the fullness of my salvation isn't going to be worked out until the resurrection of the dead. I'm still going to walk through this thing and physically die. The wage of sin is physical death. Ultimately, the wage of sin, if you're not right with God, is the second death. That's eternal separation from God, correct? But if the wage of sin is death and it shows up physically, then in order for God to pay the price for us, he has to come physically and then physically die. Is that correct? See, John chapter 1 and verse 14. As we go here, if the ushers, if you'll come and bring the communion tables, I would appreciate it. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 and verse 14. And this is what it says there. John 1:14. And the Word. See, notice the capitalization there. The Word became flesh. Why does John use that Greek word we have word, logos? Why does it say that, capitalized? Because Jesus is what God has to say. And what God has to say is, I've come to save you. And how does he do it? Again, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah, he lived this life here on this earth. You can take a tour of Israel, go to Jerusalem and the surrounding cities. You can take a tour of the places that they think that he was. Some places they know, some places they kind of guess. You can visit the places where he did ministry. He was here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacle, this body. And we have seen his glory, glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want to connect a couple places. John chapter 6, turn there. John chapter 6 and verse 48. One of the great I am statements, self-revelation, we find recorded in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6 and verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. See, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. That was the great provision of God as they're coming out of slavery. But yet they died. But this is the bread, speaking of himself, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, in other words, finds salvation in him, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And this is him dying on the cross, his literal body being crucified. Of course, we know this whole story turns into a hard teaching for people to understand. Go to Matthew 26. Here's the scene of the Last Supper. Matthew 26, verse 26. Just before his arrest and his crucifixion and the Passover meal, and Jesus is taking up that big picture story of the life of Israel and reorienting it to himself. Matthew 26, verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Yes, the bread of life. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." This is the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He said, "I tell you, I will not drink again of its fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Yeah. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the bread of life that offers himself in crucifixion for us. Then we have what we call the communion meal, representative of the reorientation to Passover meal. Jesus breaks the bread. This is me. But the breaking of bread brings the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. See, a baby is born in human flesh, the bread of life, to die on a cross because God saves. And as God said in Transfiguration, listen to him. This is what he is doing. So we're in the Christmas season and all the different things and the trees and the presents and the songs. And I'm not against not one part of it. I enjoy it. I love the season. But God in flesh to save us. Put your tree up, but Jesus has come to save. Give your presents out. But God has come to save. Listen to Jingle Bell. Don't care. But God has come to save. Amen? And what Jesus was doing, all the stuff he's saying, is represented at these two tables right here, the table of the Lord. So if you'd like to this morning, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, you may come down in just a moment and pick up the elements and go back to your seat. We'll partake together. The bread of life, represented right here. The whole reason Jesus came, born as a baby. Partake of him. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross, represented right here. The forgiveness of my sins, God saves. Amen. So if you'd like to partake this morning, you can make your way down the aisles, please, and take the elements back to your seat, and we'll take it together in just a minute. Well, thank you, Jesus, for the obedience of coming. Taking on the very nature of a servant. Taking on human flesh to show us the true way to be a human, to be our example, to show us what God is really like. Then be the way that God saves. This bread we hold in our hands, your body crucified, the bread of life given for us. And we receive it. We partake of it today in full remembrance of your death on the cross. Thank you for taking our place. Thank you for being the one that did for us what we can't do for ourselves. Thank you for being the one who willingly bore all of our sins crucified to that cross. We partake today in remembrance of that. Partake together. As the scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, no remission of the sins. But it's by your blood that's all the sacrifice of the law. It's by your blood that all the things the prophets yearned for was fulfilled. That this gift of God that we just come and repent, that you simply cleanse us of all unrighteousness because you are faithful to your word. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. This work of God that washes away all of our sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. My goodness, what a wonderful gift. And Lord, today we partake of the cup in remembrance of shedding of your blood. Let's partake together. If you would, just for a moment, I just want you to thank him once again for what he has done for you. Because he's not a far off and distant God, but he's intensely personal in forgiveness and mercy and grace and patience, and then also wisdom and strength and understanding and leading and guiding. Thank him for what he has done for you. Thank him for your salvation and the life that he gives in abundance afterwards, leading us to all of eternity. So we thank you, Jesus. You are wonderful and you are good and you are holy and you are mighty. You are mighty to save. Thank you. And your name is worthy to be praised. It's high above all else. The name of Jesus, God saves, worthy to be praised. And we thank you today once again. Oh, Jesus. So, Lord, as we're in this Christmas season, we honor you. And we worship you. And we proclaim your name. That the good news of Jesus that has come for all of the people. We proclaim your name. Yes, Jesus. Now, for those of you here this morning, if you would, just for a second. Yes, God saves. Yes, in him is the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you feel this morning like your heart is far from him. Maybe you've never come with a repentant heart to him. Well, maybe you simply just wandered and have found yourself inwardly just disconnected and distracted. And the wonderful thing about God is his mercies are new every morning, because great is his faithfulness. And maybe today you need to bring your heart in repentance to him. I encourage you to do so. Because we can do a lot of Christmassy Christmas stuff all this month, but it doesn't mean anything if your heart is far from him. Right? So if you would just bow your head, and I don't bring people down front, I don't do that stuff, but I do like to know, because I want to pray. And I'll find you later and talk with you. But if you feel your heart is far from him this morning and you'd like to correct that in this moment, raise your hand real quick. Let me see. Anybody in the house? Let me see. I'm looking. In Jesus' name. Well, no, I don't see any hands this morning. So in one sense, my heart said, that's great. We're all good with him. My other part of my heart says, I hope it's true. But is this next moment right here, if you didn't raise your hand but you needed to, just say, Lord, come and forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start. Refresh me, make me new. And simply just commit to live for him, to follow him. And every day, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it will happen. It's just ask. He's faithful to hear and respond. Lord, I thank you for that. And thank you to hear our hearts this morning. As we go today, I pray blessings on everybody. No matter what comes our way this week, that we never forget that you're with us. And you're going to see us through. I pray for those in the house today that weren't here today because families are sick. We pray that their bodies are touched by the work of the Holy Spirit and are made whole and made well. We thank you for that. For those, Lord, that are in this time of year, and it just seems like depression is trying to just make inroads into their heart, we pray the joy of the Lord is your strength. And every day is the laughter and the joy of a renewed heart. I thank you for that. And I pray for families that may be feeling the financial crush in this time of year. I pray you continually prove yourself as our provider, that you are. And you make ways and you open doors. I thank you for that. As we go today, Lord, that we're heading out into this world to be a light for you in all that we do. For your name and for your glory. And in Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for being here today. Wednesday night, we'll be back. Next Sunday morning, invite a friend. Again, pray for those that weren't here today. But have a wonderful, wonderful week. If you need prayer this morning, come on down. We'd love to pray with you. But be blessed as you go.